If you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6 once again, and we'll continue, as we have been for several weeks now, looking through this passage of Scripture. We begin with talking about the wiles of the devil and how we've got to watch out for the devil and his devices and his wiles. And then we moved on to the unseen enemy, the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that we wrestle against as Christians. And then we begin to talk about standing and withstanding in the evil day. And having done all to stand, the Bible tells us here in our text. And then we moved on to talking about the particulars of the whole armor of God. You know, a church does not stand for 22 years not being protected and not being prepared for battle and not being standing and having done all to stand. If you think that having a local church and for a church to be around for 22 years is an easy thing, you need to rethink that. Okay, it is not. And these dear folks, some of whom have been here for the duration, they'll tell you of people that have come and gone over the years. They'll tell you of some difficulties that have happened even in this local church over time. It hasn't been a cakewalk. Let me just say that, okay? But you know what? It's been worth it all. I promise you that. Amen. Each one of them will tell you that. And you know, as we go through these trials and these difficulties, as we go through these battles, and God gives the victory, because the victory's in Him, it's not in us. You understand that. But we have to do all that we can to stand and to fight, to put forth the gospel, to be obedient, and to be good soldiers by enduring hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. So if you'll stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're here in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to once again read verses 10 through 20. If you will read out loud with me on the even verses, and I'll read by myself on the odd verses as we read back and forth. I believe they call that responsively. We will go through this passage of Scripture here this morning, beginning altogether in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We've been talking about the whole armor of God. And I know today you may be looking at your clock and saying, how in the world is he going to preach a message in 15 minutes? Because we got to get out of here. You know, I mean, because I think we all turn into different types of fruits and vegetables, maybe pumpkins, and at 12 o'clock midnight, you know. I thought about that. I did. I really did. I know you think that preachers don't think about that. They just kind of, just keep talking and talking and talking because they'd like to hear themselves talk. I'm not sure. But I did think about that. And I thought, you know what? That's okay. Because today is a celebration. It's an opportunity to really be outwardly spoken and grateful and thankful for what God has done in this place. And I'm not in competition
with Brother Raspberry. He's a very good friend of mine. And I'm thankful for all that he and his family and the folks of this church were able to accomplish in 20 years of ministry. I really am. And I'm just tickled to be a part of it, really, and to be associated with that thought. And so I did give that some consideration. And so I'm going to do my best to be done by about 1 o'clock. And that way we can get on with our day this afternoon. So, but no, I'm just kidding. Look at verse number 14. Just a quick review. Paul says, to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about these two pieces of the armor last week, and for sake of time, I'll just tell you, go to the Facebook page and watch it again if you want to know what I talked about last week. So, but I want you to notice something that he says, having your loins girt about with truth. That's really interesting, that word having. You know, look at that. Having your loins girt about with truth. Who's he talking to? Brethren. Those that are saved. So, guess what? Through salvation, what do we have? Our loins girt about with truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, having on the breastplate of righteousness, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we should walk in them. You know what? Our righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. And because of salvation, we have on his righteousness. You know what God sees when he sees you? He sees the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see your righteousness. Your righteousness and my righteousness are as filthy rags. So he says, having on these things. And then he goes to verse 15. That's where we're going to start today. He says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And, you know, I've heard people say that this is telling us to put on our gospel shoes and to go out and spread the gospel to every creature. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think that's part of it. Because you know what? He doesn't just say, and your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Right? I mean, he doesn't say that our feet are covered or prepared or put on with the gospel of peace. What does he say? And your feet shod with the... So I'm not against those that say, you know, hey, got to put on your gospel shoes and take the gospel to every creature. I'm definitely for that. Because that's what part of this is saying. But you understand that it's part of this. Because he says a key word here. He says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So I'm going to focus for this first part here on the preparation part. The preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is the gospel of peace, folks. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Good tidings to all men. Isn't that what the angels said? And then the shepherds, they went out and they published those things. And the disciples, as they received God's word, they went out and preached the gospel to every creature. That's part of it. The gospel of peace ought to go out and we need to share it with every person that we can. Preaching the gospel to every creature. Teaching them all things. God wants us to be active, boldly speaking up for our Lord. But can I tell you something? That in itself is not enough. The preparation part is paramount. It's paramount. Hey, as a soldier is in battle, right? And if you will, is going to battle, or there's a battle about to happen or things. What is one of the keys to winning the battle? I'm leading you this way, okay? You understand? I'm giving you all the breadcrumbs to get to the right answer. Preparation. I mean, think about it. I went to boot camp. Some of you that are part of the military, and then some of you that were part of the Air Force. I couldn't help it. All the Arby guys are smiling from ear to ear too because I didn't say Arby. I love it. But as I went to boot camp, and as we went to boot camp, some of you gentlemen, and maybe some of you ladies in here, I don't know. What was that for? Preparation. Okay. After that, I went to an A school and then a C school. What did I go to those for? Preparation. And guess what? After all those things, we never talked about those things again, right? From the day to day. No, there was constant remembrances of those things and those training. And every year we'd have evals and we'd have different things and we'd have times where we'd have to review over these things and go over these things. Why? Preparation. In our lives as Christians, listen, salvation is great. Coming to the understanding that we're a dirty, rotten, filthy, no good sinner. And we deserve to go to hell. And that's the judgment for dirty, rotten, filthy, no good sinners. And we're standing there in judgment and in condemnation already. And we turn to Jesus Christ. And we simply say, Lord, save me. We become born again. There's a new life in Christ. And then guess what? We just, that's it. No, that's not it. Okay? There is something more to life than just coming to salvation. Because I've said this many times. If salvation were the only thing, then the moment you bowed your head and trusted Christ as Savior, off you go into eternity. There'd be no reason to hang around, right? There'd be no reason to continue to be on this earth. But there is a reason. We do have something that we need. We do have something to be a part of. And we need to be prepared for it. If any of you think that the Christian life is just the easiest thing you've ever had, then I'm sorry, you're not in the right mindset. Or maybe you're not experiencing the Christian life. Because guess what? We've talked about the wiles of the devil. Wrestling, standing, withstanding. These are difficult things. Enduring hardness as a good soldier. So, as someone in the military or some of these things, they prepare. You could use this in a sports analogy. You can use this in a business analogy. You can use this in any type and walk of life analogy. Maybe you're a contractor and you're getting ready to do a job. What do? Prepare. I mean, you're a software engineer. What are you doing as new software comes out and new things come out and new designs come out? What are you doing? Yeah. It's in all walks of life. And I think sometimes as Christians and maybe as preachers, we've often read this passage and we've skipped over the fact that he says your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Nice piece of equipment here. You think this would suffice to protect me and serve me well as I walk through this life? They would, right? You know, these shoes, these things needed to be what? Yeah. And you know what else they need to do? I do need to take care of them. All right, this happens to be a really nice part of the cow. It's useful. Leather, right? I like the other part better. It tastes better. It doesn't taste so good. But you know, it needs to be prepared. It needs to be cared for. This is going to experience some dirt. It's going to experience some wear and tear over the years. But if I take care of them, if I prepare them, if I clean them, if I oil them and wax them and, you know, all these things that you do to take care of things like this, they're what? Prepared. For every good work. And I can do what? I can have my feet shod with them, right? You understand that We need to mature as Christians. We need to grow. We need to prepare ourselves. Hey, we need to get cleaned up. We need to put on some mink oil, and we need to get some wax and cover up the scuffs and the different things, and we need to brush off the dirt from time to time. So that as they shine forth, it's good to have shiny shoes, right? They can be a useful tool as I'm about the work that God wants me to accomplish. In Luke chapter 3, in verses 3 through 6, it says, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." What was John's job? To be the mouthpiece. The proclaimer. Behold the Lamb of God. Right? That was his job. To prepare his way. To make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Folks, listen to me. I am not for lifestyle evangelism as far as an idea that that's all we should do. I'm just going to live a good life, and people, if they want to see me, they'll see me. If they don't, they don't. Okay, that's not enough. But I am for living a life that's pleasing to the Lord so that they can see Jesus in you. And when you speak of him, they believe you. Because what happens? Christians just live any way they want to. They look like the world. They talk like the world. They act like the world. And then when you begin to talk about Jesus, they're like, what? Because, I'm sorry, fella, but the way you live and the way you speak, those don't match. Because this pastor has always told you that things that are different cannot be the same. I mean, if my boots were all falling apart and dilapidated, and I say, yeah, these are good boots, you'd be like, huh? They are? They're coming apart. They're dirty. They're nasty. The leather is all cracked, and they're good? No. We've got to be prepared. It's the preparation of it. In Isaiah 52, very similar, we talk about things about preparation. It says, "Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, and arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, and that publisheth peace, and that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, Paul says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." You understand? What is that? That's the gospel of peace. It is. Now listen to this. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen, I'm for all of that. Your feet shod with the gospel of peace. I'm for that. That's what we ought to preach to everybody. We ought to say to people, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But listen, he doesn't stop there. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Now again, that's good too. Because we're supposed to go and preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to shine, let our light so shine before men. But he doesn't stop there again. Okay? He doesn't quit. He says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And then he says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now in Scripture, we are told to prepare. We're supposed to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. We're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In 1 Peter, the Bible tells us, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What is all of this? This is the preparation. The preparation. Living a holy life. Being righteous as we ought to as children of God. He says, and who is he that will harm you if he be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. What is all of that? That's the having feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's important about feet? It's important to know that they're dirty and stinky. No. It's the lower extremity of the leg, or the part of the leg which treads the earth in standing or walking. It's by which the creature is sustained and is enabled to step. Do we need feet? Healthy feet? Happy feet? Protected feet? Prepared feet? Prepared feet. What kind of a life are we living? Is it a sustained life? Is it one that's able to walk about? Are your feet, your spiritual feet, prepared with the gospel of peace? Let me just ask you. If you were forced to, if you had to, could you share Christ with someone else? How prepared are you to do that? And guess what? The more prepared you are, the more you'll do it, and the more you'll be able to do it. In tactical things and in safety classes and trainings, we talk about something called muscle memory. Because when you get in a difficult situation, you just do what you're trained to do. And if you're not trained to do something, you won't do anything. You say, oh yes, I can. No, you can't. You just ask any of these people that have been in any kind of military or law enforcement or tactical training, you'll freeze. And that's what happens to people when they're not trained to do it. I'm seeing some guys shaking their heads. They know exactly what I'm talking about. He's like, yeah, I'm all big and bad. I can take. Not if you don't train. Not if you don't prepare. You won't be able to function properly in that difficult time. Hey, are difficult times going to come? Are you going to be confronted with a situation or given an opportunity in a situation where you can share the gospel or you need to share the gospel? If you don't prepare, you won't. And guess what? You'll fall right over. Because your feet are not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's how important this is. And it's so important we got to spend 20 minutes on it. And I only had 15. But I think I made the point, and you understand, that this is the whole armor of God. Having your loins girded about the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod. Hey, I'm ready to go. I can go out there and I can walk on thorns. I can walk on briars. I can walk on sharp rocks. I've got my feet shod with good equipment. They're prepared. They're ready to go. They can withstand in the evil day. I think Tecovas should give me a bonus for showing their boots off. And I'll thank my in-laws for buying them for me for Christmas. But they're prepared. How prepared are you, Christian, to share the gospel with someone else? Do you know what you're going to say? Do you know what you're going to express? How you're going to express it? What if someone asks you a question? We need to have our feet shod. And one last thing, and just closing. When it says having your feet shod, that means the shoes are on and ready to go. It's not sitting on a shelf somewhere, collecting dust. You know what a soldier is? Ready at all times. When I was a part of the military, we had a saying, 24/7, 365. You know when I was a soldier? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. See, what if you were on leave? I was a soldier, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Are we ready? You got to put on the shoes, or are they on already? Are they prepared? Are they ready to go? Because our feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.